You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Gene
Johnson.
From the AfterBuzz studios in Los Angeles, California, and streaming live on Ustream, this is AfterBuzz TV for Animal Planet's Whale Wars. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest Whale Wars news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, picking up where the show leaves off, and the buzz continues, it's AfterBuzz TV for Whale Wars.
Well, hey there, everybody.
Hello, hello.
Yes.
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hey,
hello.
I can't hear myself.
I can't hear John.
That's fun.
All right, well, we seem to have some technical.
John, why are you? You're on mic one.
Let's share mic three.
All right, hang on a sec. No,
there
wait.
You go.
Oh, I hear.
Sorry about that, everybody. We had a little technical.
Yeah, you're on mic one, not two, my man.
I'm staring
Someone
at the thing.
Someone needs to fix this.
Two.
It says two.
Regardless,
you
anyway,
guys,
we're up live. Let's go.
Yeah, let's not worry about mics. What we really need to worry about is the whales, but we don't because it's all been
okay.
Worth it.
And thank you for joining us for Whale Wars. I guess this will be our final episode of the season and possibly the final episode of Whale Wars altogether. We hope not, but it could be.
Or so. Antarctica edition.
Yes, yes.
At
the
least.
Antarctic edition, yes.
I hope we get more. I want to see other campaigns. I want to see something new.
Yes,
from
don't we? Okay, so
Sea
before
Shepherd.
We get any further, let's introduce ourselves. My name's John Comerford. I'm joined in the studio by
Ben Bottomley
and
Michelle
lovely,
Macedo.
Yes, and in the booth is our all-time favorite
Bill Svitek.
There
well, our all-time favorite is really Stuart Lil.
Yeah,
but he's the true Whale Wars expert. But enough about him.
He's not even
hey,
here.
Hey, they'll be over there soon in the South Pacific.
He will. But enough about that.
Yes.
On to the show.
Whale Wars.
So, your guys' thoughts on let's start with this episode. Then we also saw the war stories.
Yeah,
and then we'll just talk about the season as well.
Yeah, I mean the first thing you have to talk about is the success. I mean, we can't really even discuss anything else because the whole episode was that, and why talk about anything else? Because that's what the whole seasons have been leading up to. And I was actually kind of shocked.
Yeah, I did not think
I didn't,
that.
I purposely didn't read anything, didn't want to know anything. I just wanted to see the episode. Did anybody else know this was going to happen ahead of time before they'd seen the show?
Yeah.
I kind of did.
I did.
You did.
I read online that the Japanese did issue that they were recalling the fleet. Yeah. So I kind of knew, but it was still a good episode.
Did you make that connection?
Yeah. No, once I saw the preview saying, with Paul Watson saying, they've issued this statement, I knew. Yeah. Okay.
Oh.
Phil, you kind of knew as well?
I did. But at the same time, you know, it was a very exciting episode, and I wanted to kind of see how it unfolded.
Oh. Yeah.
You know, John, it's good that we don't stay kept up on current events because we were surprised.
No, I keep
but
up
it's
on current
it's
events.
Also,
I specifically didn't want to know about this, though.
But it's also like dramatic irony. If you know something, you know, you can see how it developed. And at the same time, you know, nonetheless, they gave us new information.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll also talk about this in depth, but for the fact of, okay, yeah, we may have stopped the Japanese whalers for this campaign.
Exactly.
That is not necessarily mean that for all campaigns. And however, whaling still exists, not just with the Japanese.
Right.
That's what I was thinking.
Still happening.
It's awful to say, but I really didn't think it would make that much of a difference.
Yeah.
What, stopping this?
Yeah. No, I mean, that whaling, anti-whaling stuff, like diverting them and throwing stuff at their boats.
Right. Yeah, you know, and that's interesting because I really want to know the psyche behind why they chose to stop. I mean, obviously it wasn't financially successful for them. They only had 172 of their quota of 1,000, so they obviously weren't making the money. So at some point, they just decided to cut their losses because, you know, they issued the statement saying it's about safety and all that other stuff, which is clearly not the case.
Yeah, not.
I don't really think they cared too much about safety after, you know, they've rammed ships before. So
split the Eddie Gillen, too. That's safe.
Yeah, exactly. So
maybe a lot of international enemies
Well, yeah, who knows? Diplomatic pressure. I mean, I don't, you know, I can only imagine really it was financial, though.
It really, I mean, that's what it came down to in the end. I mean, they had nothing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. They were.
When you have 6 weeks left,
yeah,
and you've been out there for more than 90 days.
Right. And you haven't even caught 20% of your quota.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
That's rough.
Yeah. And you're looking at, okay, we got 6 more weeks of this, which means we're only going to get X amount. The numbers just didn't work.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, so they were completely successful in their campaign in terms of that. Obviously, they wanted, no whales, but, I mean, that's pretty impressive to go. And that's their worst season ever in terms of whaling. The lowest number they've ever had and successfully, what do you call it, whaled? I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was impressive,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, and the shortest season, that's amazing.
That was a pretty big thing.
I have to say, though, when they said that, when they put that number up there, 172 whales that they had destroyed, I was like, whoa.
And, that's, you know, a lot.
Because it seemed like a huge number to me. And then I realized, well, actually, in terms of whales, I mean, I don't know this the percentage of whales or whatever out there.
In terms of whales.
Yeah, but I was shocked by that. I was going, 172? Really? So, because in all that, you know, months, I guess, in months of whaling, 172 whales seems like a lot, but maybe it isn't to them. Obviously, they thought they were going to get 1,000, so.
Yeah, wow. I thought that was a lot, too.
Yeah.
That's a lot of whales. Whales are really big. Yeah, you have to drag them out the boat. You make a whole big thing of it.
Yes, I know. It's shocking.
172 is a lot of picking up of the whales, the big ones.
And then I'm thinking,
I think it's...
They were going to get 1,000 whales? How were they going to fit them all on the damn ship?
Cut them up.
I think it's...
Even if you cut them up, there's still 1,000 whales of cut-up whales.
I think it's just so shocking because you feel like you're watching them the whole time. You feel like you're always on them.
True.
But
yeah,
you never see them actually getting any. Yeah. But
well, that was the thing. This season, Chris Altman saw one.
That was season two.
But when he passed by the Nishimaru the first time, he saw a whale on board.
I thought you were talking about seeing the whale
actually get shot.
See
one. Yeah, exactly.
Then I'm sure they blame themselves. They're like, when did that happen?
Well, if you're going to take on that commitment, yeah, then if you're saying I'm going to make sure that they kill no whales,
that was pretty upsetting.
In order to be accountable, yeah.
Okay. Oh, and they sent harpoon ships to follow them, which is a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
if they're following, they can't harpoon.
Why would they send those harpoons? Because it allowed
them to follow them, and therefore their mothership could still process the whales, and other whaling ships could still harpoon.
Right, but instead of using the harpoon ships, in previous seasons they had
a
spy ship.
Tender boats and all, whatever, that kind of thing. Yeah.
What was wrong with that?
Yeah, so
I don't know.
Why
that's
would they use
exactly,
money.
That's what I'm thinking.
They don't have the resources.
Yeah.
They don't have the resources to do that. And then I'm going, well, geez, if they don't even have the resources to that, each year they're being depleted just like everybody else.
And then after the tsunami,
there's no more money.
Well,
that's when they came back to port. Yeah.
Exactly. So now I mean, I don't know when the whale season starts, but now they're not going to be doing well.
They
don't have any money.
Yeah, they have bigger fish to fry, pardon the pun. Okay, but when the Nishimaru was running and just trying to get the Bob Barker to run out of gas, I thought that was a really effective, because what else can they do?
Yeah.
Except, you know, we have 5 times the gas. This is a pretty good tactic. I love the idea that they might want to sail entirely around Antarctica and meet back up at the... Because by the time they got there, the Bob Barker would have been out of gas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they said that.
What's that?
So
the Japanese vessel?
Do we know how long that would have taken?
A couple of days.
Yeah. They had a couple of days left.
Well...
Yeah, they were checking the gas. And
how long would it have taken to get around Antarctica?
Oh, to get around Antarctica. That part we didn't know.
From Australia to Antarctica, it takes like 12 days usually?
Last time...
You're ahead of me, I don't know.
I was on the boat from Australia to Antarctica.
Yeah.
That seemed a fortnight. Yeah. 2 weeks.
And then it was surprising that it wasn't surprising that they called Chile, but it was surprising that they actually would step in and actually do something about it. And I really wanted to see a ship just down the ocean. You know, like, yeah, come on, mothers. Let's go.
Yeah,
let's get it on.
That would have been great to just see a battleship waiting for them.
Exactly.
That would have really been awesome.
That would have been
awesome. I was kind of ticked off. Okay, just you're running out of gas.
Yeah.
You got chili. You know that you got your sport. Yeah. Hey, can we just get some gas while we're at it?
Exactly.
Why don't they call in for, like, ships to come refuel them?
Yeah.
Yeah, again, I would imagine you'd either have to have a lot of money to say, hey, come on out, we'll pay, because what do you know? Yeah, got to pay for the gas somehow. Or you've got to have a whole network of volunteers saying, wherever you are, we'll bring the ocean liner with the fuel.
Okay, you know we're an international organization.
Mm-hmm.
You know we're good for it, so, you know, just put it on our bill.
Yeah, I guess. But you still got to have somebody first who has the vessel, who has the gas, who has the time.
Chile is willing to make has that. The vessel. Okay. Chile has the time. Yeah, well, Chile has
we never
the
know where they're going to be.
But the argument
in
there,
Chile.
Right, this time.
That, what are they going to pay him in Chile? But here, the argument they were making is that these countries don't always enforce their laws, especially in terms of the whaling. And that's been the case historically. So, I mean, I was really surprised that
me too. You know, that they picked up anything. The phone.
And I'm wondering if it had everything to do with the fact that Whale Wars is now a TV show and there's much more press on it.
Yeah.
That would probably be part of it.
I think that has that changes a lot.
You got any
lot.
Word on that? You ever heard anything about that? You being the seasoned veteran of Whale Wars.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it definitely has a bigger effect, especially, I mean, I don't know. I guess it's definitely caught the attention of Americans, I guess you would say. And so it
caught the attention of us. Us Americans.
Yeah.
Well, it did. And so, you know, you kind of, in some sense, get scared of American opinion. And obviously...
Well, hey, who knows? Maybe their own countrymen were saying, hey, why aren't you doing anything about that? Who knows? I don't know enough about Chile's
political
situation.
No matter what.
Yeah. But that would be interesting. I would be interesting to find out how, you know, if Whale Wars is even shown in Chile and how well it does or how well it's known.
It is. Because Chile was the guy that saved the day.
Yeah,
that
but I don't know if the TV
almost,
show's there.
Almost
right,
saved
and
the
so
day.
Now they're going to air it.
Just so they can say,
yeah, exactly.
We did it, we did it.
Look at what we did.
Exactly.
That really was disappointing when they turned.
They turned
away. I was
away.
So sad.
But I'm like, those sneaky whalers.
I know.
Turning at the last minute.
It turns out they're not totally stupid.
I loved what he said. Hey, I guess they can read a map.
Yeah. They are competent.
Yeah.
Who would have thought?
They can read a map.
Didn't they kind of map out like half the naval world in some sense?
Yeah, they had seafloor, all that kind of stuff.
I believe they made the map.
Who?
So if they can't follow the map, we got some problems.
The Japanese?
Yeah. So.
Historically, of course.
Yeah. And then they head right back into a storm. And I thought, again, another good thing, because you've got the bigger vessel, so it's going to be easier on you than it is on them. I mean, they were doing everything they could.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, well, shame on them. That was probably the tsunami itself.
Oh, no.
Damn idiots.
Oh, no. Oh, no, we're going to get sued. Okay. We're going to get letters on that one. Thanks, Phil.
Good job.
Why would we get letters? Phil. I believe, like, they chose to go in that storm.
So,
because you're suggesting that, and somehow the whalers brought the tsunami to Japan's shores. Is that what you're saying?
I'm just saying it's coincidence.
Oh, it's okay, great.
Okay.
And it has to be
allegedly. Yeah. Allegedly.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
All right.
Yep.
All right. But again, I thought it was and those, by the way, great shots of going into the storm. The camera angles.
Oh yeah.
Splashing.
Oh my
God.
Whoa.
I almost needed some Dramamine.
That was terrifying.
Good stuff. I hadn't seen shots. That was the first time we've actually seen those good of shots.
Yeah.
We got some pretty good ones in the episode where they got the distress call from the Norwegian ship.
Yeah,
but
we did.
They weren't like that.
Yeah, not like that. That was pretty impressive.
Yeah, that was...
That was nice. And a couple of great shots, too. Just that one with the sun going down over the iceberg.
Yeah.
A lot of penguin shots. Very, very, a lot of reflection shots.
All their vista shots, because, you know, we succeeded this
exactly.
time. So they had all the great things.
It's all for this. Mm-hmm. You know, the whales.
So I'm gonna give my theory on this this whole kind of season, I guess. You know, in seasons prior, we would kind of every second episode, we would get a nice little tribute to the whales.
Mm-hmm.
And since this season was called No Compromise, it was all about, okay, let's really focus on the campaign,
mm-hmm.
and then today
and
they
the
were really, yeah, and today at the end, obviously, we had a nice tribute. You know, this is what it was all about.
Right. And how ironic that they go to the Bay of Whales, and there used to be tens of thousands of them that would go there, and they don't see one until late. And then, you know, you were hoping to see lots of whales breaching, all that kind of stuff, and
nope.
But it was great to see the ones that we did. Don't get me wrong. That was just terrific. I always like to see that. But It's shocking how few there are.
No, there were, I mean, at least they showed like three.
Yeah.
But also I thought it was funny that they were so excited about seeing whales.
Yeah.
You know, the anti-whalers, I guess, never go whale watching, but they love them so much. But I just thought it was funny.
Oh,
okay.
That's it.
Paul Watson's happy face looks a lot like his sad face.
Yeah,
and
or
his angry face. Or his confused face.
I was
going
to ask.
Yeah.
Like, what
I'm
do you
so,
think?
He's really I'm good so at poker. Glad that they've called the ships back.
And then he said something, and it was more natural. Mm-hmm. It was something that was teasing them, but it was like saying something in a joking way,
let's
something
just say,
negative.
Yeah.
Oratory is not one of his strengths. It's not.
When he's on the phone, he looks like so depressed, like, oh no.
Well, he and takes off his little headset.
What happened?
Yeah. Well, you know, the
Japanese
thing is,
just said that they're recalling all the ships.
But here's the other thing that he knows, which and I understand it completely. He goes, great, we stopped this campaign, but whaling's still going on all over the world. And I know we saved X amount of whales here, but the Norwegians, the Danes, all these people are still doing it. So I still, really all this means is I get to leave here and go to another fight. That's what that means.
Yeah, yeah.
And the good news, well, I mean, he said it really great. You know, he's had the privilege of doing the same job he was doing since he was 11.
Yeah.
In all fairness, and you know, he said it's a job I'll carry on through the rest of my life.
Yeah, there's no retirement in a sense.
Yeah. And that is inspirational. It's a lot to ask all those people to volunteer so much. Mm-hmm. They have kids and all that stuff, and he's been home for 5 days.
This whole year.
And I thought I didn't know his story. I hadn't done again. I didn't want to
Paul's.
Know. Yeah, I didn't know Paul's story, and I didn't want. I tried to do his. I just wanted the show to come to me as it was presented. I didn't want to have any too much outside influence. I didn't want to know anything ahead of time. And that's the first time I'd heard a story about being 11 years old and already at that age being so affected by it that he was willing to do something about it.
I didn't know that he did that. I didn't know he went out and saved beavers.
As a kid.
Me neither.
An 11-year-old kid. That's impressive. That's really impressive.
I know. Setting them free.
Yeah.
Yeah. You
and,
go.
And then it kind of it made me look at myself and go, what? He's doing that at 11.
I know.
It doesn't take much.
Yeah. Exactly. And he's made such a huge difference. Yeah. And the picture when he was 18 was hilarious. He had like all this hair, all this like black curly
black hair.
Yeah,
yeah.
He didn't even look like himself. Yeah. One, yeah. But anyway.
Well, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, I guess, you know, we can kind of talk about the effects of direct campaigning versus indirect and all that. You know, I mean, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, let's get into that because I agree with him that the direct intervention has an immediate, there's an immediacy to it that's really kind of seductive. You're actually able to stop something before it occurs. But I don't think you can not do all the others. I think it has to be all of them. You have to do the diplomatic pressure. You've got to do the financial pressure. You've got to do the political. You've got to do all those things as well as the direct thing. Because you've got to find an extended solution. By stopping the thing now, that doesn't mean it's going to stop entirely. You can't continually have direct intervention and expect the situation to change unless other pressure is brought to bear.
Yeah. I think he was about half right.
Yeah, because
like,
we were
you
just
do
thinking,
need what he's doing
yes,
to stop it, to actually stop it, mm-hmm. but you... You also need what they're doing.
Right. Because, I mean, we just agreed, and I don't know if this is actually the case, but it seems to me it's pretty clear that the reason why they stopped was a financial decision.
Yeah.
So obviously there was pressure there financially. So, you know, you can't just do one or the other. I mean, what I love is that he's out there doing that. But I love that somebody's out there doing that.
A good portion of that financial pressure came from... Their direct
exactly, exactly.
Do you think that the Japanese are just gonna let them win?
No,
they're gonna come back. I mean,
I don't know.
Well, I don't know if they'll be able to.
Yeah, I mean, again, I wasn't. I was only half kidding. I think they have bigger fish to fry. I think there
I mean,
are other things
do,
for
yeah.
them to deal with, and it just might not be financially feasible for them to. Deal.
Yeah,
it's not that they don't want to or think there's anything morally wrong with it. It's just you know that we can't do this and make a living at it, so we'll have to think of something else.
Yeah.
I kind of hope they don't come back.
Well,
obviously,
I
hope they don't come back. But, I mean, in the Whale Wars world, I want to see those other campaigns. That
yeah.
Yeah, I want to see Mediterranean.
Yeah.
Like,
at least it'll be warmer.
That's yeah. what I'm saying. You can't. You can enjoy the weather and save the whales at the same time. You don't have to look yeah. at icebergs all
so
day.
It's, you know, it's kind of like one of those vacations where it's an activist vacation.
Exactly.
Before
exactly.
Before we get too far ahead, I want to show the world notes that Phil asked me to write him, and I don't think Phil will ever ask me to write notes again.
You wrote these for
Go
Phil?
Or
you
I wrote these for Phil.
Oh, okay,
Phil said, write notes for me.
All right.
Whales
there
are
you go.
Dead.
Whales are dead.
Wait, no.
Wait, no.
Oh.
Good job, go, Phil.
Congratulations.
That's impressive.
That's very articulate.
You know, that's almost as impressive as...
I got most of my E's facing the right way.
Yeah, and the R is just the letter?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
All
what
right.
were you saying, John?
Well, it's almost as impressive as the speech that Paul gave.
There you go.
But, okay, so, was there anything else you wanted to go
on
to?
Well, I wanted to talk about, I mean, just the fact of, I mean, from a humanitarian standpoint, doesn't it kind of make you feel like, okay, everyone's telling me to do all this little crap, like all the little things you can do to help
right.
the world. And you know what? In some sense, yeah, you can. Okay. Is it really that hard to recycle paper and cans and all that crap?
Yeah.
No. Can you start a compost? Yeah.
Yeah.
Can
you change your light bulbs? Can you do all those things? Yeah.
Yeah, you can. And
yeah,
you know what? It's interesting. It's actually very easy to grow 50% of your food.
Yeah.
And, you know, even I
we should
don't
do a
do
show
it.
About that.
We should. Well, I used to do a show about that every day for 3 years.
Yes.
Yeah, that's cool.
Called Garden Girl TV.
Mm-hmm.
But nonetheless, you know what I mean? If you're into that stuff, I feel like this is the audience for it. Check out Garden Girl TV on YouTube or gardengirltv.com.
I'm going you know to check out Garden Girl TV.
There you
check
go.
It out.
I mean, right. I'm saying, do you guys feel kind of inspired now that, you know, all this is going on and we're not really doing much?
You know.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say that it is kind of frustrating. It feels like, you know, buying a water at Starbucks isn't doing anything for, like, the kid in Africa or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it feels like, oh, well, I just go on with my day
mm-hmm.
while this person is suffering,
mm-hmm.
you know? But you have to be so focused on that one cause. I mean, they made a difference
mm-hmm.
and they were at it all the time completely.
Right.
And even with tsunamis and stuff, okay, my dad helped build all these orphanages in India mm-hmm. and we went there and helped out there and stuff. And there was, it was the orphans of their parents died in the tsunami that happened there.
Mm-hmm.
Not this past one, the one before.
Right.
And there were so many people still affected by
right.
it. Lives ruined, villages and stuff, not even
mm-hmm.
there. Everyone had stolen everything. I mean, it was just, and there, it's been such a long time.
Right. But here's the thing. We can all do more and we can all do what we can. And if we all did that, the cumulative effect of all of us doing that would be huge. So, some of us don't have this commitment level. Some of us are passionate about other things, or some of us do a lot of little things in a lot of little areas rather than one huge thing. And I think all of that's important. Do we keep score on how many things we save, or do you just you do your best, you do as much as you can, you get your intent out there, and you try to do good in the world?
Yeah, I just feel guilty because I'm doing my thing.
Yeah, but guilt doesn't help you. It doesn't help the injured.
Yes, it does.
No, how does it help?
It helps
how
the
does
children
help the
in Africa.
Being guilty.
Feeling exactly. guilty does not help
yes,
that.
Yes, it does.
No, the actual doing
it
something
goes directly
after you have.
I'm so guilty that I didn't donate to this cause.
Yes,
therefore,
exactly.
I'm helping
the guilt
them.
Doesn't
so
help.
I'm giving. I'm kidding. I know it doesn't help. You guys.
I'm going to drink water.
Well, you had me believe in you.
Some AfterBuzz water.
No. Yeah.
It's because I'm a great actress.
Amazing. Anyway, so what was the last thing you wanted to say about that, Phil?
I think we can all kind of do our parts. And
yeah.
at the same time, I think, you know, really, there's so many ways. And honest to God, if you really want to just better your own life, There's so many ways of doing it. Yeah, by eating, if you produce 50% of your own food, which is actually very simple, you'd be a lot healthier. You'd be a lot happier. Obviously, you would reduce your carbon footprint. And in many ways, I feel like, you know, everyone's talking about the end of the world for the end of the world. First off, that's a load of crap. Because the world is not going to end.
No. Quote you on that when we're all dead.
We might, but the world won't.
The world will be fine. We'll just all be dead.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's so arrogant to think that the world's going to... world is just going to get rid of us.
Exactly.
We're the cancer. It'll just get rid of us.
People killers.
You're wrong. It's happened with
all
dinosaurs. It's happened with so many species.
Our sun will expand and consume the Earth in millions of years.
And guess where the whales are going before that? Japan, last stop.
Great. But I'm serious in the regard of, you know, there's so many ways. And, you know, I think we could all help it. I also, by the way, just a quick one. I think global global warming is bullshit. You have to, not in the regard that we're not hurting our global climate. However, you can't just say like, oh, yeah, we've seen changes in the past year. Mm-hmm. Climate change is over the course of 100 years, not 2 or 3.
Hey, can I comment on that?
Well, the change is really drastic.
I know what you mean because I got confused because I took a weather class in college and that just made me... So the teacher was really, really adamant about the fact that climate change didn't exist. Mm-hmm. And he explained why. And I was like, oh, okay. And then the other people in the class were arguing with him and I understood their point too. So I don't know, they've been saying, they showed news articles from like the 20s and 30s that are saying like the world is cooling down, like it's gonna end because it's cooling down and we're ruining whatever.
My question to Phil is how do you argue the numbers then over the last 40 years that they've been studying this, there's been a trend that there's been climate change. Now, I'm not saying
how do you argue that? Over time, I agree. Yeah. But you can't say, oh, global warming, because here's research from 2 years.
No,
anyway, that's my pet peeve.
Al Gore angry.
And why don't we go to a quick commercial, and we can kind of talk about the ups and downs, highs and lows of the after show.
Okay, great.
All right.
Here we go.
Want to find out what the AfterBuzz is about?
Janice is a drama queen.
This is the divide that is going to carry the series.
Give us a call. 424-256-1729. 424-256-1729.
This television, and they want it to be as dramatic as possible.
I mean, it's Shakespearean.
You never know what goes on behind closed doors.
Find out why AfterBuzz TV is the number one source for after-show content.
Now, in the eyes of Jimmy, Nucky is a villain.
424-256-1729. 424-256-1729.
I mean, who would you guys rather hear that from? Your husband or your best friend?
The wig will come out.
When the TV show is over, get your after buzz on.
Magnetist, too.
Yeah, what do we get for our pain?
Well, I thought you were on the side of reason and logic.
I am.
Then how do you defy those numbers? How do you just discount them?
I don't discount them. I'm just saying for the people that are citing numbers from like 2 years
ago.
Oh, no,
that's
not
2 years.
Climate change.
No, no. Yeah, you can't take an entity that's billions of years old and think, "Oh, well, this month is hotter." And therefore no. The trend is one way. You can see the trend.
Yeah.
So
but despite all my rage,
okay, I'm gonna say one thing. Okay,
ready to
let me just say this about this is what bugs me about the climate change debate. Here's the thing: clearly, the numbers are where the numbers are. You can't argue the numbers. If the numbers are there, they're there. Is there a change in climate? Yes, the numbers would suggest there's a trend to the hotter, or whatever. But the point of it is this: everybody wants to know, is it man-made? It isn't. It doesn't matter. It can't be a good thing that we're polluting the very air that we breathe. Who gives a crap if that has... I mean, just clearing that up is enough of something to do.
Yeah.
Not because it's the climate may change so much, but, well, because we're breathing carcinogens. How about that?
Yeah. I guess people are like, oh, well, then what are we doing recycling? Yeah. It's not affecting
me
directly.
Well, it's not man-made. Well, really. So it's not a good idea to have
ridiculous.
Cleaner air and clean
that's
water?
True. That's true.
Who gives a rat?
Yeah. A rat.
A toot.
That's a really good one.
All right, moving off the climate thing. Right, all right, so we're back on Whale Wars. What do you want? Where are we going to now?
War Stories.
War Stories.
All right, let's see. Yeah, we did watch War Stories.
Most of it.
Most of it. Yeah, very interesting.
I have a feeling that we didn't miss a lot.
No.
They showed a lot of clips.
You know, it was great, though. It was great to see them off the ship. And it was great to hear them, you know, talk about other things and, you know, just have commentary outside, you know. Is that the Nissan Maru?
Yeah.
That was interesting.
It was kind of interesting to hear about their more personal lives.
And I thought the other thing was interesting is they didn't really look that different, except for the lady.
I know.
It was like, oh, the guys were still scruffy.
Yeah, Chris Altman looked like, I don't know, he looked exactly the same.
Exactly the same.
It's like...
And yeah. But the lady got her hair done and was wearing a dress and had makeup on.
She looked lovely.
And so she looked different.
She looked great. But the guys,
no.
The guys looked like they were fresh off the boat.
Paul Watson looked like he was dressed like a little French boy.
That was it.
He was a little French sailor.
He looked like the skipper in Gilligan's Island.
I know. I just loved it. He's so funny, that shirt. Little sailor boy.
But did they say anything that you found interesting? A lot of it was interesting, but anything shocking? Did anything take you by surprise, anything?
I'm trying to remember what they said. That's bad.
Because I think that they reiterated pretty much everything.
A lot of our discussions here, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
But I was surprised by the Chris Altman discussion about whether or not he should have kept going when he was in that 14-hour day.
Yeah, I was
kind
of surprised by his answer.
Yeah.
I thought he would not have responded in that way.
Yeah, how would you thought he would have responded?
Well, okay, he responded saying... The question was, do you think you're guilty because it's your fault, essentially?
Do you think you let your crew down?
Yeah. Do you think you let your crew down because you found the Nishin Maru and it got away?
Right.
He said, nope, not at all. I don't think it was my fault. I think it was bad luck that we found them at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And they said, well, what if you went up for one more hour? He said, that wouldn't have made a difference, I don't think. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know if it would have made a difference, but I just thought he would be... A little more...
Well, here's what... Because it was surprising to me, because I would have thought, based on how I had been hearing him speak, that he would have said, well, yeah, I did feel like I let my crew down, because I think I remember him saying something like that at the time in one of those interviews.
I don't think I... I'm pretty sure in the episode, he was the same way.
Really?
Yeah.
Because it's shocking, because like, even if it were saying,
this would have happened anyway.
Yeah. I would have said, yeah, of course I felt like I left my crew down, but I still would have had to come home. Because of what X, Y, or Z. But how do you not feel that?
And then they asked Paul, his non-response. Chris let your crew down?
That's a non-denial denial, we call it.
Let's look at the big picture. You see, they had two harpoon ships tailing two of our vessels, and therefore those two harpoon ships were not killing whales. Yeah. And this is relevant to Chris Altman tracking the Nishin Maru.
And he's absolutely right.
Yeah.
I mean, all those things are true, but he never really answered
the question.
But
it wasn't the question.
Because when you saw him on the episode...
Exactly.
My interpretation of the look on Paul's face was disappointment.
Yeah.
Extreme disappointment.
Like he was, it looked like he was happy, though.
Yeah.
So, or sad. Yeah. I don't know.
His face fell. I think that maybe if they had been less successful...
Yeah.
Then he would have maybe blamed them, or maybe Chris Altman would have blamed himself or something. Mm-hmm. But I was surprised by that answer, too.
Yeah.
I would assume that their ultimate success was part of his answer.
Yeah. Do you think he secretly feels guilty?
I would think he at least did. Like, how wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You found it, and now it's gone again.
Yeah, I don't know.
But don't know how Chris Altman's mind works.
Not sure. Phil, any thought on that?
Well, alrighty.
I mean, in terms of that, or just the show in general?
The Chris Altman part.
I thought it was obviously was on most of the fans' minds.
Yeah, because that's what they spoke to it specifically.
Yeah, but I thought he answered in a diplomatic way, but I don't know. I didn't quite fully believe him, and I think deep down he was mad at himself.
Mm. I like how they addressed the question fans have been asking about why don't you drop things on the ship with helicopters. I'm pretty sure we've recommended that they drop things
on
the
ship. Well, I know you have.
I probably have. Turns out it's illegal.
I certainly have. It turns out it's illegal, but again, we kind of knew that.
They're pirates.
Yeah, but here's what I'm curious about. That's pirates. Illegal because it's an...
Aviation FAA law.
Yeah, it's an FAA law. There's no international law for airships. Which, so I go, well, if there's no international law for airships, then they're really, it is not illegal.
Yeah.
I would guess, unless your license can be revoked, because wherever you are, your license is tied to your vessel.
I mean, PR-wise, it doesn't look good.
Yeah, I mean, it looks horrible. But my question is, okay, that's illegal, FAA regulations, etc. But prop fouling isn't? There's no international law against prop fouling?
Well, because you're just slowing them down.
They completely disabled the Yushin Maru a couple times. They left it dead in the water for days.
Yeah, but they stayed with it.
No, they left it.
No, they
remember?
Didn't. Remember? No, because after a certain amount of, they said after the certain amount of time.
Well, okay. But it was dead after they left it.
Wait,
they stayed with it for that time until they left, and then it was still not functioning.
Yeah, well, that was because the Japanese wouldn't respond. And again, international law dictates that you stay with the vessel, and if you get no response or whatever, and it's been 24 hours, okay, you're free to go.
Really? But now, granted, they're only slowing it down, but I would still think it's illegal to, in some way, you know, deactivate someone's vessel on an open sea.
Yeah.
But how is LRAD not... Is it called LRAD?
I don't know.
Called LRAD.
What?
The, like, dish beam thing that they fire at pilots.
Yeah.
That's the loud...
I don't know.
Disorienting noise.
Yeah,
that seems like a hazard, you know?
Yeah, I mean, they all
Chris
seem
Altman
like they should
had
be
to
illegal.
Fly away because... He said, I could crash because of how disorienting this noise is.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
they,
I don't know.
They use it all the time. You can hear it on the microphones. When,
oh, really?
Yeah, it's that loud beep, 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 beep. That's LRAD.
Yeah.
So. Or
anyway,
whatever it
I would
may
think
be called.
That would be illegal.
I mean, did you guys learn anything or was anything answered that you guys wanted to? I felt
from
like,
the after show, the War Story show?
Yeah, I think less. I mean, here's the thing. We've seen the season.
Yeah.
If anything, do like 10, 15-second clips.
Okay.
Because I really wanted to speak. I wanted to see each of them speak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's why I was really looking forward to this, but I don't know. I was a little disappointed with
anticlimactic.
But yeah.
Because you wanted something more in-depth?
I wanted more in-depth.
Uh-huh.
But I was very interested with their... future campaigns they were talking
about.
Yeah,
that part I found...
Yeah, that I liked.
That part was helpful, and I liked that part, but...
And
so
now...
let's I guess in that case...
Oh, let's get to...
And now, you're after Buzz TV.
Predictions.
That's what I was about to talk about.
All right, go ahead.
Wow, you knew that?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I predicted predictions that
amazing.
I predict.
Amazing. She's clairvoyant. Okay, please. Well, make your prediction.
This is a disorienting noise from the helicopters. Yeah. That's what I liked about it, that they were talking about all the new things and Paul Watson kind of making a threat. Icelandic, all those people up north, I have a feeling.
Norwegian.
He likes cold areas, obviously.
That's where the whales are.
Send me to the Mediterranean or South Pacific.
So that's where you're headed. Your prediction is that you're going to be working on one of those sea shepherds in the Mediterranean. Is that
and
what you're saying?
I'll meet back up with Stuart Lil.
Nice. Okay. So
I
predict that they're going to try to they'll have another whale wars. I don't know if it'll be the Antarctic campaign or not. I'm hoping it's in a different area, just because why not? But I would love to see another one.
I do want. It to continue. I hope it continues somewhere else because I do enjoy whale wars, but we've had 4 years of Antarctica and it'd be nice to see something.
Well,
new.
Just because I want to see what other elements they have to deal with in a different environment.
What changes as the environment
and how they change their strategy.
And they could probably make a lot more use of boats like the Gojira without ice.
Yeah, I want to see that thing more utilized. I mean, not that it wasn't here because it clearly was.
Yeah, there was a pretty good portion dedicated to.
Yeah.
It's like moving Jersey Shore to Italy. It just needs a change of pace.
Yeah. Whale wars, Jersey Shore. Well, sure.
Save the whales.
Sure. Yeah.
Pauly D.
Well, they have some big girls on that show, so that's...
Oh.
Ooh.
Oh.
Wow.
Well, I'm very excited.
That's terrible.
I'm excited that, you know, if they have it, we're definitely going to be back.
Absolutely.
I think we're coming back.
So do you have any predictions, though? Do you think they're going to bring it back?
Oh, absolutely.
You think absolutely. Do you think they'll do it in a different zone?
Oh, they have to. don't think the Japanese are going anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think we're the only ones who want to see something.
And you know what? Here's what I want to see, though.
All right, what is it?
Ready?
Explosions?
Yeah. No, okay. Hi, Norwegians. You guys are ready to go whaling? Guess what? Try and pull out of the port.
Ooh. Yep.
Oh.
You want to go up against the Norse?
I want to just go. Nice. I just whatever team we choose to go against.
I want to go against the Danes.
We'll go against the Danes, but you know what? Okay, let's eliminate the having to find them crap.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's
we know where their fisheries are.
Yeah,
we know where they're starting off.
Yeah, exactly.
Same location.
Exactly. Just start stop them from leaving port, and then
tell them and be like, hey. Yeah. Hey, I heard you guys needed some help this year.
Yeah, exactly.
We're
just going to tag along, see what you need, anything.
Yep. Anyway.
Of course, they can't follow. I mean, they don't have enough vessels to follow all of those whaling ships, probably.
Okay. We're going to follow the factory ship.
Who knows how many vessels they'll have.
Rather than put all those audio devices, speakers, whatever they're doing to stop the pilot whales from beaching themselves. Instead of that, before the ships leave, instead of the what do you call them? Audio devices?
Acoustic devices.
Mines.
No,
to stop the ships from going out to sea.
Let's blow them up, kill
there
everyone on board.
Or if anything, just put trackers on all of them.
Yeah.
In the middle of the night.
Yes.
There you go.
Yes.
Then you stop the ships from even leaving.
No, they've done that before.
In the middle of the ocean. Yeah. But see, again, that was crap. Don't start in the middle. Just start at the beginning.
What makes better TV, though? What's more exciting?
Oh.
The fact of you have these sea shepherds that are like, I dare you to try to go whale. I dare you. Go.
Well, what if they never do? Then what's
staring them down?
Then what are we watching?
Well, then we'll get to watch other shows like.
But we want to watch Whale Wars,
like Tiger Wars and Orangutan Wars.
Yes,
Elephant Wars.
I could see that going really badly.
Yeah.
Orangutan Wars.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Those would not. Those would probably be pretty graphic.
Or Tiger Wars.
I've heard of.
They would go attack the people.
I've heard of elephant poachers getting shot to be stopped.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I want to see elephant poachers because I want them to go down.
You want them to get shot and
I want them to get shot
camera.
And killed on camp. I mean, I'd rather them than the elephants.
Yep.
All right. Okay. Well, it has been an exciting season. We are so glad you joined with us.
Yes.
We were quite high on the iTunes charts in terms of AfterBuzz TV shows. And for that, we thank all
thank
of you.
Thank you so much. Whalers. I mean, whale warriors.
Not whalers.
Whale warriors.
Not
and in
whalers.
All seriousness, Paul Watson, you know what? They kind of give you a tribute in the show. And you know what? At the end of the day,
he deserves it.
Absolutely, rightfully
because
so.
Because you know what? Yeah, you're taking a bunch of volunteers and you're pushing them to their limits. Not a lot of people actually have the courage to do that, to go up to volunteers and say, hey, you signed up, and guess what?
Yeah.
You can die.
I mean, arguably, he is the foremost person we could recognize for any kind of thought about saving the whales. It's because of his efforts.
I know I make fun of him, but he does deserve respect. What he's doing is very good.
And so basically what you've been doing is wrong.
Him.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't mean it. He's a good guy.
Okay.
All right.
Way to go, Paul. And we're out.
He dressed
from
like
producers
a sailor.
Kevin Undergaro and Phil Svitek, engineer DJ Jesse Janity, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. If you have questions or comments, be sure to buzz us at info@AfterBuzzTV.com. And you can find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter by searching for AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.